the wounded wife on today.
Yes, Lord.
I give honor to the ministers, amen. The Warren family in their absence, God, to each and every one of you, my armor bearer, his beloved wife, amen. Hallelujah. I thank God for Jesus. Amen. And God has given me this quick word, and I pray that it blesses. I pray that it encourages you. I'm still full off of yesterday.
Amen.
And how God moved in the house. Amen. For those who were baptized on yesterday. Amen. And so God has given me this quick word, and the title is Chloe Snitched. Amen. Chloe Snitched. Amen. 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 You might be saying, what, Pastor? Who in the world is Chloe?
Hallelujah.
Amen. And I'm going to be in 1 Corinthians, amen, the first chapter, starting at the 10th verse. And if you don't know anything about the book of Corinthians, it is a letter that Paul wrote to the church in Corinth. Amen. It was a letter to correct wrongs in the church. Ultimately, the letter was to strengthen, amen, the people in that church. Paul wanted to strengthen their faith, and he wanted to encourage them, amen, and he wanted to give them some instruction and some direction about the teachings of Jesus. And so when we get to the 10th chapter, y'all can remain seated because I'm going to be reading throughout this first chapter. Amen. But when we get to the 10th chapter, it says, I appeal to you, dear brothers and sisters, by the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ, to live in harmony with each other. Let there be no divisions in the church. Rather be of one mind, united in thought and in purpose. For some members of Chloe's household have told me about your quarrels, my dear brothers and sisters. Some of you are saying I'm a follower of Paul. Others are saying I follow Apollos, or I follow Peter, or I follow only Christ. Has Christ been divided into factions? Was I, Paul, crucified for you? Were any of you baptized in the name of Paul? Of course not. Right? And I'm going to pause right there. Amen. So somebody in Chloe's household told Paul that they was fighting and there was division in the church. Somebody in Chloe's household snitched. Amen. And said, Paul, I need you, or could you address division in the church? And you might be saying, Pastor, do we have division in 3PD? Why are you going this way? Why is this the message this Sunday? And as I was preparing this sermon, this word came to me because I initially thought I wanted to preach on, amen, what it means to please God. And from there, I just started to think about all of the ways that our attention and our hearts and our efforts are divided just on a day-to-day basis, all that we go through. And I ended up coming to this chapter as I was searching scriptures. And as Paul is addressing the church, he said, you know, somebody in Chloe's house told me that the church is divided, but I need you all to be of one mind, on one thought and one purpose. But the part, y'all, I got to tell y'all, the part that really stood out to me was the part when I got to the baptism part, knowing that we just had a baptism on yesterday. And the part that got to me was when Paul was saying, you know, has Christ been divided? Because some of y'all are saying, you know, I only follow Paul. And some of y'all are saying, I only follow Apollos. And some of y'all are saying, I follow Peter. And Paul said, you know, I'm glad I didn't baptize none of y'all. But then he said, well, I did baptize these two. And then he thinks of what, but, and he said, then he says, oh, but, and then there's one other person. But other than that one other person, I ain't baptized none of y'all. And he says, I'm glad that I didn't do it because people would go around and say that I'm baptizing in my name. But during that baptism, if you remember, for those who were baptized, if you remember, I said, I indeed baptize you in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And so I just stand here today saying, you have to be one with Christ. You have to be one with Christ. If you want oneness in your marriage, both people have to be one with Christ. If you want oneness in your home, you have to be one with Christ. And we spend a lot of time trying to check each other or check other people, but we never really check to see if we are of one mind and in one thought and with one purpose when it comes to the things of the Lord. And so I thank you. I go back to the 17th chapter and it says, "For Christ did not send me to baptize." So I need y'all to know, everybody that got dipped, amen, or just everybody in this house, I need y'all to know that Christ didn't send me to baptize. Amen. Paul says he did not send me to baptize, but to preach the good news. I'm a preacher. But when I baptized you, that was all Jesus. I thank God for Brother Devin when he came out of the water. I didn't hear him. I was in work mode, but Pastor T said it made her so happy to say, hear him say, "I feel so different." And that was not me. That was the Lord. Right? When you get baptized, when you give your life to the Lord, when you get baptized, you are becoming part of the body, the universal body. You are becoming part of the church. You're supposed to be changed. You're supposed to be on one mind with God. If everybody took the time to be on one accord with God, we wouldn't have all of these problems. You might have something going on in your house today. You might have been in an argument or in a disagreement with your spouse or your child today before you even made it to church. But if whoever you're in conflict with, if you took the time to be on one accord with God, everything would work itself out. Paul says, for Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the good news, not with clever speech, for fear that the cross would lose its power. And so I'm thankful for the way that service started on today, because we spent so much time trying to dress up Jesus. Amen, that the cross, that the Spirit loses its power because we trying to make it about us. Instead of just, when you come up to sing a song, just sing the song. When you come up to preach or speak, just do that. Whatever he lays on your heart, when you come up to testify, even if you're not one of the people that's in the front, when you stand up, close your eyes and give God praise. You don't have to overcomplicate Jesus. Just want him with all your heart. You don't have to overcomplicate Jesus in your marriage. I thank God for my wife. I thank God for my ministers. And I'm going to say this to them, and this is the reason. I thank God that they don't let me just go about life without thinking about the details. But sometimes I just want to do what he's saying. I don't want to ask all the questions about what I'm getting ready to do, because I don't know. I don't know what I'm getting ready to do. But they're like, "Have you thought about this? And have we got this? And are we doing this?" And I know that it's about order. And I know that they're trying to do it in decency and order. But sometimes I have no idea what I'm getting ready to do. I'm waiting on God to tell me what I'm getting ready to do. I'm waiting on God to tell me what to say. And sometimes this paper right here can take you out of. Sometimes that iPad when you preach it can take you out of. Sometimes how you rehearsed it can take you out of what God is actually trying to do that day and in that moment. You read or you practice and you do all that to get ready, but when it's time to perform, the Holy Ghost should take over. You can't plan out everything that's going to happen in God. So Paul says, and I read that again, he said he didn't send me to baptize. He sent me to preach the good news and not with clever words, for fear that the cross would lose its power. The message of the cross is foolish to those that are headed for destruction. But we who are being saved know that it is the very power of God. God, Jesus will have you look like a fool in front of him, in front of others, It won't make no sense. One minute you crying, the next minute you shouting. I thank God y'all should have been at the baptism and the testimony that Sister Alexis's mom gave, just quick 3 minute or less testimony that she gave, was so powerful. She talked about how she was crying in the arms of someone when she gave her life to Christ, and how the person that was holding her, amen, did not care that she had snot and tears all over her face. Amen. To the world, to people that's looking, that looks like foolishness. But that's the power of the cross. Jesus will make you feel something that you ain't never felt before. He'll open up something on the inside of you that you thought was dead or was not there. I used to say I would never run. I would never shout. I would never cry. Some of y'all, that's why you can't get your breakthrough, because you too much into your head. And God can't move in your life. Paul says the message of the cross is foolishness. The 19th verse says, as the scriptures say, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and discard the intelligence of the intelligent. For all your thinking, for all your studying, for all your planning, when the Holy Ghost take over, when God is truly magnified, then something can happen and something can move in the house. Amen. And I don't know about y'all, but I'm trying to get back to that place. I'm trying to get back to the place. I'm ashamed that my wife had to bring me some water because I started to choke. But all that meant to me was that my vocal cords ain't used to praising God and saying hallelujah like I used to. See, I don't have no problem. See, I find fault, or I find correction in myself in the smallest things. I wanted to give God praise, and I couldn't. Because I hadn't been shouting like that in so long. Hallelujah. Chloe snitched, and then Paul got this whole letter. Y'all understand? I understand what I'm saying. One person said something is off, and Paul said, well, let me address all of these things. The scriptures say, I would destroy the wisdom of the wise. Stop thinking that you're right in every situation. Stop thinking that because you feel a certain type of way, that's the way that it's supposed to go. Let the Lord teach you what you're supposed to do. Sometimes when you feel disrespected, sometimes when you feel like somebody has done you wrong, sit back and reflect and say, have I done anything first? Or Lord, how would you want me to respond to this person who has done something to me? Because God might have you do something, right? He might have you do like Hosea, Brother Brandon. We talked about Hosea, I don't know if it was this week or last week. He might have you marry somebody that you never thought you would marry. I ain't talking about his wife. You got to read the book of Hosea if you like. Right? He'll have you laying on your side for 30, 60 days at a time like some of the prophets. He'll have you like John standing in the wilderness eating locusts. He'll have you looking foolish to the world. But he's trying to bring something out of you. He said, so where does this leave all of the philosophers and the scholars and the world's brilliant debaters? God has made the wisdom of this world look foolish. I'm at the point in my life now where every trial, I want to learn something from it. If God still has me breathing, I want to learn something from it. I'm at the point now, God, where I'm saying, God, I see you. I want to know your purpose in this thing. Because I want to live in a way that's pleasing to you. If I'm going through something in my marriage, if I'm going through something with my job, if I'm going through something with my money, if people around me are dying and suffering, show me how to live. Show me what to do. Show me what to say. Teach me. I want to get the purpose. I don't want that thing to be in vain. Because y'all do realize that stuff is going to happen to you regardless of what you do, regardless of how smart you think you are. Things are going to happen to you. And you need to be able to find God in it. The 21st verse says, since God in his wisdom saw to it, hallelujah, saw to it that the world would never know him through human wisdom, he has used our foolish preaching to save those who believe. Did y'all hear what I just read? You can't know God intellectually. You can learn scripture. You can learn how to quote scripture, but you can't know God intellectually. You got to hear a word. Something got to touch your heart. Something got to move you in order to know God. Lord, I thank you. Lord, I thank you. He says he uses this foolish preaching to save those who believe. It is foolish to the Jews who ask for signs, and it's foolish to the Greeks who use wisdom. See, some of y'all want to see a sign before you believe. And some of y'all need a 10-step plan. Y'all are wisdom people. Y'all need pastor to give you 10 steps before you believe. And then some of y'all, I don't care what I say, you ain't going to believe it till you see it. And what Paul is saying, both of those type of people are lost. Both of those type of people, the ones who need a sign and the ones who need everything explained. Paul says in the 23rd verse, and 23 means resurrection. So when we preach Christ that was crucified, the Jews are offended and the Gentiles say it's all nonsense. What does that mean, Pastor? That means when pastors say you need Jesus and that's not enough for you. Okay, Pastor, I know I need Jesus, but I need a sign. Or, okay, Pastor, I know you say I need Jesus, but what that mean? Explain it to me. I can't explain it to you. Something got to touch your heart. You got to know for yourself that he died for you. You got to know for yourself that he's the way, the truth, and the life. You got to know for yourself that he's the Alpha and Omega. You got to know for yourself that there is no other way to the Father but by him. I can say all of those things. I can say all of those church things. But until you know in your heart that you are lost without him, until you know in your own heart, until Pastor God used to say, until you know that you know that you know. Until you know that you know that you know, I can't help you. All I can do is preach the cross. It says, but to those who are called to God by salvation. Do y'all hear what it said? To those who are called by God to salvation. Both Jews and Gentiles, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. When you hear your name called, when you hear him call you, when he says step out in that aisle and give your life to Christ, when you know that you're called, then you don't need another sign. I don't need a sign, and I don't need nobody to explain. I know that you're trying to save me. I know that you're trying to say. That's what Paul is saying. Right? This foolish plan of God is wiser than the wisest of human plans. Amen. This foolish plan, this five folks church. Right? Well, sometimes the music don't be right. Well, sometimes the light in the bedroom don't work. Well, sometimes the baptism pool don't look how it's supposed to look, and we ain't got no sound stage and no smoke and no mirrors and stuff, and we need a new toilet on the other side. Amen. Sometimes this foolish plan that he done put together is to save people. It's to save people. As soon as we get out of our head that his plan is wiser than the wisest human plan, that sometime it ain't going to look all put together, or that it's not going to be cute, Amen. But we can feel the love. We can feel the power. As soon as we get that, as soon as we know that, we'll be all right. That same verse goes on to say, and God's weakness is stronger than the greatest of human strengths. If God had a weak link, his weak link is stronger than anything we could put together. 26 says, remember then, brothers and sisters, that few of you were wise in the world's eyes, or powerful or wealthy when God called you. Instead, God chose, right? Very few people did. And this is why the word, I need y'all to get this in. This is going to help somebody too. Why y'all worrying about money? This is why the word says it's hard for a rich person to get into heaven. Paul said, very few of you were rich when God called you. Right? But the 27th verse says, instead, God chose things of the world, right? God chose things the world considered foolish in order to shame those who think that they are wise. And he chose the things that are powerless to shame the thing, to shame those who are powerful. God chose things despised by the world, things counted as nothing, and used them to bring to nothing what the world considers important. He's talking to somebody right there. Man, I wish y'all had been here to hear Sister Lisa's mama testimony. And I can't wait to hear her testimony. I can't wait to hear Brother Devin's testimony. I mean, when you start to hear what God and where God has brought people from, all the people walk around like they got it together. That's why a lot of times your pastor come up here and tell you stuff about like this water bottle. Somebody gonna listen to this podcast online and they ain't gonna know what I'm talking about. But that's when you preaching for the podcast instead of preaching for the people in the church. But that's why I have no problem, because God uses those weak things. He uses all of those things that seem insignificant or embarrassing. Y'all let the devil embarrass y'all out of a testimony. Y'all let the devil shame y'all out of a testimony. Hallelujah. But those are the things that God uses to put to shame. The real people who should be shamed are those who acting like they got it all together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I'm almost done. The 29th verse says, as a result, no one can ever boast in the presence of God. And so that's why I say I didn't baptize nobody. I ain't saved nobody. I ain't delivered nobody. The only thing that God called me to do was preach the word, so that I would never get up here and boast about anything that I have done. My whole desire, my main desire, is to be united with Christ. And that's the 30th verse. God has united you with Christ Jesus for our benefit. God made himself to be wisdom itself. Christ made us right with God. He made us pure and holy, and he freed us from sin. If you want wisdom, unite yourself to God. If you want freedom, unite yourself to God. If you want liberty, unite yourself to God. If you want deliverance, unite yourself to God. If you want to see what God can do, unite yourself to Christ. If you want understanding, unite yourself to Christ. Y'all understand what I'm reading you? He is the sign. The Jews wanted sign. Christ Jesus was the sign. He is the sign. The Greeks wanted wisdom. Christ is the wisdom. He is understanding. If you want those things, unite yourself to God, and he'll free you. He'll make you pure. He'll make you holy. He'll free you from your sins. Therefore, as the scriptures say, if you want to boast, only boast about what the Lord does. Apparently, somebody in Chloe's house snitched and said, these folks in Corinthians running out. And so in the very first chapter, Paul takes the time to say nobody in this church should be boasting. Y'all should be of one mind and moving with one purpose, and that's to serve the Lord. And these words still hold true today. Nobody in this church should be doing their own thing. Y'all shouldn't be doing pastor's thing. Right? Paul is the same one who said, follow me as I follow who? Christ. This not a one-man show. Your home should not be a one-man show. To all the married people in here, you desire to get married, you want to be married one day, y'all supposed to be a threefold cord. It shouldn't be a one-man show. Should it be order? Of course. But where does order come from? Where does wisdom come from? Where does knowledge come from? It comes from Christ Jesus. After 20 years of marriage, I ain't got time for that. Lord, just show me what I need to do. Show me what I need to do. Give me patience. Give me long suffering. Right? If I gotta go without, or if I gotta go like, but I don't want to live in strife in my home. Show me what to do. Teach me. Because I don't know everything. If something is wrong, it ain't God's fault. It's either something that I'm doing or she doing. Show me. Show me. So I can fix it and move on with my life, because it's short. Because it's short. God will do that for you. I don't know why he keeps telling us the same thing. He told us with the fix, right? He told us last Sunday, right? Even down to the altar call. For those who were here, he's saying, when y'all come up here, I can't hold hands no more. It's time that you start having enough strength in your own to raise your hands. For you to cry out. Amen. For you to open your mouth. For you to praise him. I thank God for minister. She closed us out with prayer yesterday. She said, prepare those who just got baptized to be ready for the next set to come in. Right? They just got out of the water, and she already praying for God to use them. Y'all need to start. Y'all got to see, but half the time we just ain't even listening to the prayer. We ready to walk out the door. I be listening to the prayer. I heard what she said. She said, get them ready for the next set. Right? If you ain't even going to listen to the prayer, how can you be on one mind? And that's why God don't move in some of y'all life. You got to be connected, one mind. And watch God, I promise you. God will show out. Now, if I said, I promise you, pastor gonna show out. Pastor might get tired and decide he don't want to show out. But when I say God will show out, you can take that to the bank. Hallelujah. I'm so glad that Chloe snitched. Right. Sometimes you need somebody to tell on you. Sometimes you need the Holy Spirit to tell on you. You need the Holy Ghost so you need somebody to tell on you and to tell you, come on now, I need you to get it together. I need you to get it together so that correction can come. Amen? Amen. Y'all come on, give the Lord a hand. Look at us. We got all four with no visitors.